Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about King Kong.
1976.
Right. You didn't have to look that one up. Yeah, dude.
Yeah, you know, when we started, I was getting all kind of amped up, ready to start it, because I think I mostly have watched this movie as a kid. I think maybe I've seen it once as an adult, I think. Okay. And I'm like getting all geared up, and Becky's like, "So would this be considered your King Kong?" And I was like, "Yeah, I guess it's kind of like, you know, the way it's like people have their James Bond,
right?
It's like this is my King Kong."
Yeah. Did anything change? Like, did you get anxious because you're like, oh, like going back and watching older stuff, it might not be the best, you know?
Listen, it's. King Kongs in general don't age well in like our like in the how they are in our memories versus how when you're actually watching it. And there's stuff that I was like, I don't remember. No, I never would have noticed that as a kid. Uh-huh. Like the deep throat reference.
Right. I don't remember that.
I had no idea about that.
Yeah.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, I hadn't seen it. I probably haven't seen it in like maybe like 10 years, and that might have been the first time I had seen it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I saw this at the drive-in in San Juan Capistrano. And I loved it when we saw it, and every time we'd like be driving home at night, like after going out to dinner or something like that, and we'd drive by the drive-in, I'd always want to look and see if I could catch Kong on the screen.
That's pretty funny. I've only seen this as an adult. I was excited to see this though, because I remember liking it, and I gotta say, I really enjoyed it. It's hard. It's like some of the things are weird because we're so used to Kong being in effect. Like the last two Kong movies, he's been CG, and the previous Kong movies, he's been stop motion.
Right. Part of what I love about this is how it's kind of like each Kong made Kong a different way, that this is a man in suit Kong. And it definitely makes me lean towards it more in like favoritism on as well, just because, you know, man in suit is tops for me as far as monster movies,
which is funny because the American movies don't do a lot of man in suit. A lot of the American movies have either giant puppets or stop motion, so it's kind of weird seeing a man in suit giant monster in an American
movie. I can't think of any off the top of my head American monster movies from this time period.
Mm-mm. I don't know.
Like, I wonder, this would have, I mean, the first Kong, I mean, this Kong had some commercial success, but they spawned a sequel.
Yeah, with Jaws, it seemed like
things... Jaws is a puppet.
They kind of went...
You can't do a shark man in a suit.
No. No. But like that, like, kind of spawned like...
Orca and the one that's the grizzly bear.
Yeah.
Piranha, there were a lot of those.
Piranha and alligator. So like, yeah, it kind of steered away from like giant monsters, which I don't know if this movie was popular because I can't think of anything that came from this. Probably because Star Wars was right on its heels.
I think there's something about it. Like, it made back like its budget like times three or something like that.
Oh, okay. But yeah, the next year Star Wars came out and that everything changed.
That changed everything. Sure. There just wasn't time to capitalize.
The first thing I noticed was the credit. It was written by Lorenzo Semple Jr. I don't know if you're familiar with that name, but he's essentially the dude that created the 1966 Batman.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That in a way that makes sense. The campy humor stuff in it.
Right. And when I saw that credit, I'm like, oh, maybe I shouldn't take this one serious. So I kind of watched it with a little more like, I don't know. Like you watch the first one and you kind of analyze the stop motion and the effects and, you know, stuff like that. And you kind of get, sometimes we can get a little serious with how things are made. So mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, well, if it's this dude, like it's, yeah, it'll be more campy so I can enjoy I don't have to just enjoy the movie, you know, just enjoy it. Don't, you know, overanalyze it. And that's kind of how the mindset it put me in. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was funny watching this and thinking about the other Kong movies and like what they took from Kong, the original, what they changed, but then also seeing what Kong Skull Island took from the original Kong and then from this Kong.
Yeah. And not only that, I was like thinking like, oh, you know what? I want, watching the Kong Broadway show even, because the Kong Broadway show, there's no T-Rex fight, but there's a giant snake.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I guess that works for that as well. You know, I didn't know, but there was a whole thing about controversy that apparently there were two studios working on a Kong picture, and there's lawsuits as to who actually had the rights to make King Kong.
Right.
Universal was trying to make one, and then they didn't get to actually make one until the later 2005 one. Yeah. But there's this whole thing. Like I didn't get into the nuts and bolts and stuff about it, but I was like, apparently there was two people that were like talking about making Kong and trying to get it going around the same time that it ended up in the court system.
I would have liked to see competing Kongs.
Yeah.
It would have been interesting.
Yeah, if only it worked out, if you could do that, that'd be, yeah.
Well, they did that with James Bond movies. They had some legal stuff going on where someone who worked with Ian Fleming owned the rights to certain things. And so he created Never Say Never Again with Sean Connery the same year that Octopussy came out with Roger Moore. And so, like, I always think about that. I'm like, to see two movies at the same time. It'd be like, I guess, like Deep Impact and Armageddon came out like the same summer. And what was the other one? Like Dante's Inferno. Was
that Dante's Peak? Dante's Peak and Volcano.
Yeah. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see, like I wonder if they were trying to tell the same story.
For me, it's almost the same. I think there's some guy named Lovelace who wrote a novelization, and that was going to be the Universal one, and
this was Paramount?
De Laurentiis. This one that we watched?
Yeah, I think it was Paramount.
Yeah, I think it is Paramount.
But now Universal makes, well, Universal made the 2005.
I think they got, yeah, they did.
But Warner Brothers made Skull Island.
It was,
it has to do with like the rights of the character versus the rights of the story or something.
And it might be also who ended up owning RKO, maybe.
We just watched Mighty Joe Young that had the RKO logo in front of it, and that was a Disney movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But anyways, yeah, just that is interesting. Yeah, the more gorilla movies, the better for me. But it'd be interesting. Just another Kong movie during this time period. What it would have been.
Yeah, if they would have gone stop motion, or because they were still using stop motion back then. Like Harryhausen was still doing stuff. Like Clash of the Titans didn't come out till 82 or 81.
Right. Or it's like, I think there was Rick Baker working on a Godzilla for something that never happened.
Right.
You know, it's like just through
speaking all of these Rick Baker
houses. Yeah, Rick Baker as Kong.
Yeah. Pretty good.
It's a good costume. I love this costume.
Right. Does it hold up for you? Like, I mean, you saw it when you were a kid. Yeah.
Listen, it's like
there's some shots that are comp. There's some shots look real good though.
There's some amazing comps. They worked the shit out of that arm.
That was one of my notes.
A lot.
One of my notes was, "Oh, Kong's definitely right-handed." Because, but there was like a couple shots where a left hand would come in.
Maybe they just flipped the film.
No, they were at the same time.
There's great. I mean, at first you go like, man, they made this arm that's really great. This arm, they use this arm a lot, and then you go like, oh, they made feet.
Yeah.
Oh, they made that close up of his face. Yeah. And he's got those like wispy whiskers, like a kid in puberty. He's got like just these like straggly whiskers on his face.
Yeah, it's weird that they didn't reveal the feet sooner. Like, it wasn't until they got on the boat where you see the feet for the first time. I'm like, oh, there's feet now?
Yeah.
Maybe it took them a while to get those made.
The one thing that looked really weird is that part, like, at the big presentation, that one full-size Kong animatronic thing. The only, like, they don't dwell too long on it because it doesn't quite look awesome, but it also kind of, it looks awesome as like if it was a toy or if it was, you know,
right,
an amusement park thing.
Right. Right. Yeah.
All right. So here's to the big one. There's so many like kind of like winks and getting like, get ready.
Yeah.
Get ready. There's so much of that going on. It's like, oh, this is going to be great. You know, all these things about, oh, someone said I'd meet some big man. I'd go out, take a long trip on the sea and meet a big man or something like that.
Oh,
you
the know, biggest.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. All those kind of bits are just like, oh, because like this is, you know, it's definitely like the kind of thing when like when the audience knows more than they do and you're like, right. Ooh.
Yeah.
You're in for a surprise.
Yeah. What I liked about this one is it's pretty much starts off on the boat.
Yeah, like
you kind of get the opening credits. Yeah, you get the opening credits while Jeff Bridges like stows away.
Yeah, it sets up these things where you're like, going, wait a minute, how are we gonna get a girl in this movie?
Yeah, and you remember while I was watching it, I was like, do they just find her? I think they just find her.
And so it's very like Deus Ex Machina kind of things. Like, all right, we'll just do that. But, you know, again, I don't know. I'm warning you now. I just might be super forgiving of this movie, of things that I wouldn't let get past in other movies, that just because this movie is like a childhood friend.
Well, I think what helps also is because it didn't really bother me that they just find her. The thing that helps is she's kind of a nutcase.
Yeah,
she's really kind of like out there. So for her to be in that situation kind of makes sense. It's like,
and
oh, she leads
really
a crazy life.
Well acted. I mean, that is not easy to do. And I think she like the way she plays someone who's like a little ditzy, really like free spirit. Mm-hmm. And then she's obviously eye candy in this movie, but obviously. there's some nice, really interesting character things, like this woman who's got her ambitions to be a movie star and that's her thing. And just like being like stuck like that part at the end where she's got to decide like between a career and Jeff Bridges and things like that. You know, it's like everything's fine and good when they're on the island and on the boat and they can be in love with each other. But then it's like back in the real world, it's like, but this is what I've been wanting all my life, kind of thing.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. I thought that was kind of nice, added nice kind of complexity in a character. I'm going to say it. And that, and it's just like, and I kind of dug it. And I was like, that's good. I thought it worked really well.
Yeah. I liked, I couldn't tell. There was like a fine line between, is she crazy or is she just playing it up? Cause that's her personality. Like the weird jokes she says, like, is she saying them as jokes or is she really think that way?
Right.
And, yeah. I enjoyed it. I thought, yeah, I really liked her in this movie.
Yeah. I was like, I forgot. Becky was asking me about her character and stuff. And I was like, why did they basically make her this kind of person? And it's like, it's, and I was trying to be like, it's kind of like, they like to portray like a lot of times LA Hollywood types like this too sometimes. Mm-hmm. like Sarah Jessica Parker in LA Story, where like her name is Sandy and it's like, oh, and like Steve Martin has this line where it's like, oh good, you have like a normal name, not like some weird name. And she says, yeah, it's big S, little A, little N, big D, little E, big E.
Yeah.
And that kind of thing.
Right.
I liked all the food sliding around the table on the boat.
Yep. Yeah. Which I'm assuming they had to build that thing. They had to build that set. That was definitely
on some kind of gimbal to rock that whole thing around. And perhaps my favorite joke is Charles Grodin going into like the bathroom and he comes out. He's soaking wet just from whatever was happening in the bathroom. We don't know, but he ended up coming out wet.
Yeah.
I thought that was really funny.
Yeah. So the budget on this thing seemed pretty sizable. Like,
oh yeah.
Yeah. It was like, just like to have a scene on a giant gimbal set is crazy. You know, you didn't, well, the budget have to was do that.
23 to 24 million.
Okay.
And it made in the box office 74.9 to 90.6 million.
Oh, cool.
Jack O'Halloran. Do you know who that is?
No.
He was the crew member who had that giant head.
Oh, he
played Perko. He's the guy. He's one of the guys from Superman 2.
Yeah, yeah. Zod's dude.
Yeah.
I forget his name. It's not Ursa.
It's like a one word name.
Yeah.
Non. His name was Non.
Okay. Right. Non.
Yeah, I wrote, weird way to introduce a woman to the King Kong movie.
Like I said, I'm fine with
deep
it.
Throat. I didn't understand what that meant. I'm sure I had no idea what that was.
Such a and watching it now, it's such a dated joke.
Oh, you know another good joke? Charles Grodin was great in this too.
Yeah.
Grodin, when she's clinging on him and Jeff Bridges is taking pictures and he's like, hey, I'm a married man. Don't you know, it's like,
right.
The couple cover of people. Don't print those. And it's like, it's the cover of People magazine. And it's like, or print one.
Right. Yeah. I really liked him in it. He was good. He's like, it's kind of cool how they flip the characters or just change the characters. So it's not Carl Denham just, you know, going looking for Kong.
Yeah.
He's kind of got his own obsession and then his obsession turns towards Kong.
Yeah. A lot of this like is that. Also, the time period. There's like right. All the oil, the whole oil wars thing going on. And there was like the gas prices were really high and it was just that. So it was like, to make it, this is definitely kind of like, you know, like trying to knock like corporate greed and,
yeah,
and the whole idea, and also like going and like taking national resources from places and all that kind of business. I mean, it gets to a ridiculous level. I mean, the fact that they have the whole Petrocor presentation of Kong, and they wheel in a ginormous gas pump,
right? It's like commercialism.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah. Like that stuff, even when I saw it last, I don't know when I saw this first, didn't really make sense to me then. It made more sense to me now. just the way that you see everything nowadays is, you know, is a commercial. Everything, you know, they put like Toy Story stickers on bananas, like, you know, anywhere where you can advertise, you do. Something and so, else.
Yeah.
The island, all the shots of the island, man, every like kind of wide shot with the sort of like, sort of cinemascope kind of, aspect ratio, like that really wide, like 70 millimeter look.
They every found shot great. Of the island.
Where do they find all those places?
Yeah.
And why aren't they still used? Like, why don't we still see places like that? You know, I'm like, why isn't Star Wars shot here? Or, you know, James Bond, or, you know, any of these big franchises. It's crazy. I've never seen locations like that before. And it's kind of cool. Like they had to like create Skull Island in the original.
Right.
And then Peter Jackson kind of did it too. They all created it, but I like this going to actual like crazy, locations. Like I know like in Hawaii, in Oahu, they have, what is the ranch, the valley?
Cool old ranch.
Yeah. Where even like that, see like that we've seen in, it was like Jurassic Park and it's been on Lost and it's been in a couple other things. Like I think we mentioned in the 98 Godzilla, but like, wonder why these places aren't still used, you know, like I haven't seen like that beach is so crazy.
Yeah.
The beach with the huge like hole, like the triangular hole in the cliff and stuff. Like how is that not in every movie? How is that not the Vasquez Rocks of, you know, adventure movies or whatever, you know, action movies, unless it was like impossible to get to, but, yeah, everything on Skull Island was cool. But even before then, something that Skull Island took was the constant wall of cloud cover.
Yes.
Which in the movie looked really cool. I'm not sure how they did that, but they must have just been pumping out some sort of, I don't know if it was dry ice or something, but that was crazy, that wall that it didn't. Look like
when you
effect.
See, I'm wondering, I'm not exactly sure, like when you see like, it's like the front of the boat with the wall of fog in front of it.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure. And then when they're pulling in and the way they keep hitting them with smoke and you're like showing like Charles Grodin and they're just like hitting them with the smoke and stuff. And it basically, it looked kind of like the sulfur gas that comes off of like when you like go to like the big island and you would see, you know, the lava that where the lava tubes spew into the ocean. Oh, okay. It just makes this thick smoke. But I don't know exactly what they did to do the wall in front of the boat.
Cause it doesn't look like an effect.
Or yeah, the fact that like we're stuck in effect. we're in a, it's definitely in a blue screen era. But we are definitely pre-CGI era, so there was a lot that, you know, the fact they had to build things like
that wall.
Yeah, they had to build.
There was one shot of the wall that looked like a matte painting, but it still looked pretty good. But there were still huge sections of that wall, and you can kind of see the scale of it. But when they start tearing it, when they bring in like the equipment,
the little like studio bits that they had to build, and
when you see like the construction workers on it, it gives you a more sense of the scale.
Yeah,
and it's like, wow, it's really big. And I know that's kind of Kong, is the, you know, the whole thing is like the joke in Jurassic Park, oh, is Kong behind that, because we associated Kong with these giant walls, but the fact that they keep building them,
it's so good.
It was the wall was cool, and the miniature version of the wall for the Kong stuff matched up pretty nicely.
I mean
the scale of like they, that, what is it, the Petrox corporation, is that the name of the gas company?
Petrocor,
something like that. But they had that on the side of the ship, like a real ship, and on the side of that.
Oh, the big ship, yeah.
And then the plane that came and dropped the parachutes. It looks like they really did all that stuff, and they had like the logo on the side of the plane.
Right.
It's like, man, this thing is like, they really went all out on this.
Petrox.
Yeah, and I don't think of like, because this is a Dino De Laurentiis did this, and I usually don't think of him as like a big budget guy, but I guess he kind of is. I know like the snake, the snake in this movie looks almost identical to the giant snake in Conan, which he also
produced. Yeah, it does.
Yeah, he produced both of those movies. So I was trying to look up to see if it was the same snake. I mean, why wouldn't you? I mean, if you got the snake, you know, because this came first. And if you have a Conan movie, you're like, oh, go see if we have a snake, you know?
Sure.
I really liked Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
His beard was nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, he kind of looked like a caveman, but, he, I mean, dude, he's so good. And, like, this is, he's been around a while. Like, I always think of Tron being, like, the first Jeff Bridges movie, but Tron's like 82.
Oh, man, I really liked, he had like this like switch. He had like a version of like a one of those like Baja hoodie kind of shirts.
Oh, yeah.
This is when they go on, only it has like a pajama collar on it. this is when they're about to go back to civilization, when they're on the big boat and they're taking Kong back. And I was like, oh, because I love, like, Baja hoodies. It's just a part of my uniform now. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, and look at the collar. This is different. It's, like, it's not a hood, but it's got a big, big old 70s collar on it. But I was like, oh, I like that. I gotta get someone to make me one of those.
I think I was paying attention to the yellow sweater.
Oh, okay.
I couldn't keep my eyes off her. Let's talk about Kong.
Okay.
Kong. One of the things with her character is she has a personality and stuff, which, like, I mean, she's essentially playing the Ann Darrow character.
Yeah.
And Ann Darrow really didn't have much to her character other than she was an actress and she was scared.
Yeah.
So it's kind of nice to see, you know, a little bit more put into the character.
Yeah, she would talk to Kong a lot. She's trying to like almost like a hostage, like being like, no, please, 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 you know. It's like, no, I'm not good with heights, and then she gets mad at him, and then she starts punching his face, and or punching his hand. A lot of it, and then she gets real sympathetic towards him.
Right,
which Ann Darrow does not do ever, and so that was great.
Well, that was funny. It was I didn't really like she was so different than Ann Darrow that I didn't really think of her as Ann Darrow at all until she was tied up for the offering.
Yeah,
and then she screamed because I was like, oh, here comes the scream. It better hold up to the classic Faye Ray scream. And it's like, it's kind of sucks that Faye Ray was just kind of boiled down to just her scream.
Right.
Like as far as her character goes. But yeah, she, I think was the luckiest on the set. Cause she spent a lot of time on the Kong hand and it did like a lot of time. And it doesn't look like they really had any sort of like protective seatbelt or anything. Like, she just had to balance on it for reals.
You mean lucky because you're jealous that she got to play on the Kong hand so much?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure the other people, I'm sure everybody on the set got their chance. But
it's probably pretty lonely. Like, days that she's working, and it's just her. She's got to act with a hand, with the fake hand.
Yeah.
Like, the whole period where she goes to escape a little bit, and the hand moves in, she's like, pulls her back in.
Right.
And she goes to escape again, like, just kind of like always doing this acting with the... with a giant hand that's like, you know, couple union guys. You got to like pull the levers and stuff and make it move and slide it in and all that kind of stuff.
It's got to be easier than, you know, tennis balls on poles.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, in fact, but, she gets to sit in it.
But, like, I'm 43, and there was nothing I wanted more than to be in Kong's hand and have him drop me into a lagoon. Like, that looked like so much fun.
That'd be fun, like, to have, like that's, like, kind of like one of those, like, carnival things where you throw the ball and it drops you in the water.
Oh, like a dunk tank?
Yeah, like a Kong hang dunk tank that, like, you walk out on the arm, you sit down on the hand, and the hand drops you into the pool.
Well, how do they not have, like, a Kong hand diving board at, like, Universal Studios or something?
Man, just things that are completely missed. There were those Kong hand. There was that Kong hand chair,
right?
Which, you know, I mean,
they're pretty cool, but
it's still, yeah. You just got to rig one of those chairs up there.
I mean, you got to get a hand that's like the size of your.
And then, like, you go with it. Yeah, it's like a big, like, it's a big pool system. Like, you go, the Kong hand drops you in the water, and then you got to go up to the Kong head, and it'll blow you dry.
Oh, yeah. And it might take your top off.
Yeah, that's the Kong finger part.
Yeah. That's where you get your towel from. You hang it on the finger. The blow, when he was blowing on her, like, the face changed shape. Like, it was really good. I don't know if it was a whole separate mask, but it looked like it transitioned between the
regular. Yeah, there was, like, stuff in the mask to make it, there's some parts where it was, like, you started going, of all Kongs, this one's the most creep, probably.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
In a way, it's kind of like, the Shape of Water of Kong movies.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It is weird that she becomes sympathetic when he's kind of a perv. But
yeah.
But I'm glad she does.
You know what? She called him a chauvinist pig, and I was like, man, I haven't heard chauvinist
since probably
in,
like, Cheers.
Ages.
Since Cheers or something. Something you always hear on, like, 80s.
Yeah, that's like, it's like sexist and it's all these other words have now seemed to replace chauvinist.
Yeah.
The big thing. I mean, I loved all the stuff where it'd be like his head and then the mechanical or whatever it is, the real arm in the foreground with the head. Right. In the back. I thought a lot of those composites worked really great. The only thing is there was, like, the blue screen stuff looked a little weird a lot of times.
Yeah, like when she's being set down or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I picked up the people falling off the log.
Oh, yeah, that was rough.
That stuff was not great, but, you know.
Do you want to talk about the snake scene?
Sure.
I mean, it's awesome. I mean, Kong fighting anything is awesome.
Oh, wait. Sorry. So the Kong head, when he's blowing her dry, the way the cheeks inflated.
Oh, yeah.
Leia, like he was playing a trumpet. He would go and just really, like, blow out his cheeks. So the snake. Go ahead.
I think I would prefer a T-Rex. But at this point, we've seen Kong 2005 and 33 fight T-Rexes. So it's kind of cool to see something new. But I think I'd still want to see a T-Rex, but I don't know how they would do it with man in suit.
A T-Rex? You mean how they would pull off a man in suit as a T-Rex costume?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. So this is 76. So it would be old school T-Rex. So it would be a T-Rex that stands on its hind legs and basically drags his tail. So, the only way I think you'd have to do some kind of weird, like in Dog Soldiers where, like, it's like they're on stilts.
Mm-hmm.
To kind of, like, lengthen the legs and change, you know, because like the knee is much higher. You know, because like it looks like they have a reverse knee basically,
right?
But it's just that the knee is higher on the thing or something like that. It's like and so it's more like that the knee on like a T-Rex is like where his ankle is, I think, basically, like on birds and stuff. So yeah, it'd be something like that.
I feel like this is the least. What am I trying to say?
Ape-like.
I'm gonna just say scary. version of Skull Island. Like it's not as treacherous as others. Yeah, there's like Kong and then a snake. Like they don't really deal with like quicksand or giant bugs or dinosaurs, and like the guys pretty much get knocked off the log and then the rest are hanging out by the wall the whole time. Like it's not as treacherous as some of the other Kong movies.
Yeah, and like the log bit was there, I think, just as like, you know, because the log bit was in the old movie.
Yeah.
You know, that's his thing, is shaking guys off that log.
Yeah.
It's one of his moves.
He makes sure to put it back there when he's done so that more guys will come back.
There was a lot of really funny, they would like have this like key lighting on Kong's eyes.
Yeah.
It was like he's like fucking English patient. It was so funny. Let's see. I think he's like, this is like glamour lighting for his eyes.
It felt like his eyes were a lot bigger than people eyes sometimes.
Sometimes they look close together.
Yeah.
Like they're kind of like close together on the face. It's funny how this, because this Kong is very much like walks like a man. He's not, he didn't really try to do a gorilla walk on him or anything like that. But
that's something that kind of Skull Island did, was like they took from kind of this one, and then the original Kong kind of walked more upright.
Yeah.
Peter Jackson's was
when
more
gorilla
was really flat out gorilla. I kind of like the upright Kong more than the Gorilla Kong. It makes it more of a unique thing. Like, I don't want to think of Kong as just a big gorilla. Like, that's right. Mighty Joe. That's not Mighty Joe
Young. It's its own species.
Yeah, yeah, it's like its own. Yeah, yeah.
Like, not like a gorilla that just happened to
be giant.
Grow that big somehow.
Right. So I prefer the upright. So that was cool. There were some of the comp shots where when Kong was approaching the wall and like tearing down the trees, like I'm like, is this a giant set or is it split screen? Like sometimes I couldn't tell.
Right.
And I like that.
That. Or like that big set they made that's basically represents his home on the island. It's this giant set of like rock formations and stuff like that.
Right.
I liked her line when she's like, sometimes I get too physical after she's been beating on him. And she starts, she says, apologize. I get too physical. It's a sign of insecurity. You know, like when you knock down trees.
Yeah, she's great.
Yeah.
The capturing of Kong. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
Capturing I was going to talk
Kong.
About, yeah.
Because I'm after that, so go for it.
Okay, yeah. I just wanted to point out the one thing that I thought was amazing was after they capture Kong and they do the knocks him out? Chloroform.
Yeah.
And the pit is just covered in this fog, and then the arm comes out of that.
I love it.
That's the coolest. Because, you know, it's just the same arm thing that we've been seeing.
Right.
And even though it's cooler that it's just not off camera.
Yeah.
I like that it's in the middle of the shot.
It's just hidden under the dry ice. But it's and then really
just comes up. Oh, that's so cool.
And then the natives reappear. The natives reappear to Cohen, kind of like getting close and stuff.
Oh, yeah. After they catch him, it's almost like when they kill the Wicked Witch and all the bad guy guards come up and there's like, are we good? Are we free?
Right.
So yeah, it was like almost like a moment of relief. So that was neat.
Also, just kind of like the notion of like this, the thing that you've had to keep a distance from forever, and then now it's like, oh, we can actually get in close, and we're not in danger. Kind of out of the curiosity of like, you know, getting a good look at it, like the way we talk about like how long would it take you before you went to go to a King Kong corpse and check it out?
Which I think is going to be brought up again at the end of this episode.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mentioned it before, but okay, so yes, native depictions of this stuff is awful, and there's,
I mean,
no way around it, and you're stuck because these are what they do in Kong movies. I mean, Skull Island, they did it a different way, and
we'll see what happens in like a few years, what we think of that depiction.
I think that's the best you can do with it, as far as I can imagine. But man, when I was a kid, that Kong, that gorilla mask of that guy, the head guy there,
right,
was amazing. It blew me away. It's like wooden carved, just really like, cool looking mask.
Like when it showed up, I remember you mentioning it before. I'm like, okay, I gotta see this mask.
And
I'm like, okay, that's really cool. Is that something you can get? Like, is that something they would have, like, Monster Palooza or something?
Like a replica?
Yeah. Shoot, wonder if the prop still is somewhere. I mean, either way, that thing's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like you if you look up King Kong 76 mask, you get, it's mostly like the Ben Cooper mask from Kong.
That's probably still cool, though.
There's pictures of it, but I don't know. But it's a cool mask, yeah.
Yeah. I like that she gives him a handkerchief, which I'm assuming was a blanket. And I wrote down conkerchief. Okay, so this is what I like about this movie, is that it doesn't completely stick to the original, and we actually get to see Kong travel back from Skull Island to New York, and how they did that.
Yeah.
All that stuff with Kong and the tanker, I loved it. I loved it. With her sitting there looking at him and him going crazy and her, you know, falling down there, him catching her and stuff, and all of that stuff where she calms him down. But my favorite is when he's just knocking on the walls and like knocked the dude out of bed and stuff, and like knocked out the poo pipes. All that stuff was awesome.
Yeah.
Where he's just banging on the wall. Like, cause we didn't see anything like that. It was the first one. It was like, he's going to have his name up on lights, Kong, the eighth wonder of the world. And then it just cuts to that sign, the marquee. Right.
Dance, like knocking the guys off the bed, I thought was great.
Right. All of that stuff where he's in there just as a prisoner going crazy. That's kind of cool because it lends to the sympathy towards Kong, which is not in the first movie. So I do like that they have this kind of angle on it. And Jeff Bridges, like making him sort of an animal rights activist somewhat, or you know,
but he's but also like a paleontologist, and like he, that book he had, I was like, oh, does that book exist? He had a book that was called like Apes and Myths.
Oh.
And I couldn't find it. I was Googling it, looking for that cover, cause it was cool looking.
But I like what they did with all the characters. They changed the names. But that's fine, because it's, you know, not the same movie. This is where we got to see the giant feet for the first time. When he sets her down between his legs. And we see both feet. And I'm like, where were these? Those could have been around while he was like pulling her back in on the island and stuff when she was, you know, calling him a chauvinist. But for some reason, this is The show, the big, I guess this was the bicentennial, right? 1976.
Yeah.
So it's all very American-y, with the flags and stuff. It looked like Rocky versus Apollo Creed almost. Like, it had that exact look with all the American flags in the arena and stuff.
Totally.
That gas tank. Okay, so was that a real big gas tank that they wheeled out? Because it looked like a real big gas tank. Or was that a miniature? So. Yeah, it looked like a real thing.
No, I think they constructed a big giant gas tank thing. Yeah.
Cool.
A couple things. People who tried out for Dwan. Apparently, Kim Basinger tried out for it.
All right, great.
And this, I didn't realize this was the Meryl Streep had auditioned for it.
Okay.
And this is the audition. I don't know if you've ever heard a story where he says in Italian that he thought that she was ugly. And Meryl Streep responded in Italian because she speaks Italian. Like, I'm sorry that you feel that way, some along those lines. Because the guy thought he was being secretive when he sat and was. There's a story in there that says when they made the big animatronic hydraulic hand.
Mm-hmm.
And Dino De Laurentiis came to go see them do a test of the hand. They as he walked in, the hand basically gave him the middle finger.
Uh-huh.
And he laughed, and the hand broke, and it was stuck in that position for a week.
that's pretty funny.
They talked about there was a thing I had seen. So that giant Kong that's in the wide shots with the people at the big show,
mm-hmm.
whatever that thing is.
Yeah.
That thing, it said, like, I forgot how much it cost them to make it, and it just couldn't get it to work. That's why it's like it's on screen for like 15 seconds.
Okay.
Because it looks like a statue that the mouth moves. It's weird looking.
I love that he says the cage is unbreakable and immediately
it breaks. Immediately breaking it? Yeah,
not even. That was great. Because you know what's going to happen. Like, as the audience, you know what's going to happen. So I like that it was just immediate.
It said it cost 500,000 pounds to create, and the device could not work convincingly. It weighed 6.5 tons and was 40 feet tall.
Whoa.
And they ended up using it for 15 seconds.
Can you imagine? Is there behind the scenes shots of it? There's got to be.
Oh, I'm sure. In the making of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I've seen stills with that thing in it. It looks a little weird. I mean, especially because Rick Baker's costume is nice. It's well proportioned, and mm-hmm. it stands like a human. Basically, it stands like a regular, like it just like even him standing still looks
mm-hmm.
looks natural. But this,
right.
when you look at it, it looks like
garbage.
Yeah, I mean, it just not garbage, but I mean, because it would be. It'd be awesome to see in like a playground,
mm-hmm.
but it's just not great. Oh, but I think he also did the one that's the giant one that lies down. That one's better.
Yeah.
Oh.
Now I'm just looking shit up.
Yeah, you know what?
At all the pictures.
You look up the word Rambaldi, Rambldi,
mm-hmm.
Kong, and then you'll see a bunch of
Oh,
here. Oh, this picture is cool looking. Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. This is the part in the show where we then get distracted.
Yeah. We're pretty high up here too. We've talked about this for over 50 minutes.
Well, this movie warrants it. This is,
yeah. Oh, there's a Rambaldi exhibition.
Oh, there is?
When was this? Hold on. This is probably old. Oh, no. Is this in 2000? Yeah, I saw that. That's the one I saw. There's an exhibition for Rambaldi in November, last November, and they have one of the Kong hands.
Damn.
In there. All right. It's in Europe, though.
Oh, also, Rambaldi made E.T.
And Alien. That's a video, but that's just...
Where was it? Italy?
It just is in Europe, I think. I don't know. It's on Euronews. It's cool. The subway. The subway attack. We talk about that.
Yeah, Kong. They established early on in the... And after Kong goes on his rampage, that he has the ability to smell her.
Yeah.
So he then can go and like that they got like, see, that's how he was able to track her down.
Yeah. Which is fine.
He goes and he like basically rips it open.
Yeah. Great miniature. Really good miniature. And I like that it looks like it takes some muscle to actually rip the top off of it.
Yeah.
And then he grabs the wrong blonde and just tosses her.
Yep.
Yeah, that's what happens. If Kong comes to your town, dye your hair. Just saying. the giant hand came into the bar. That was cool too.
Yeah.
They just started sticking that giant hand everywhere. Yeah. what's his name? Charles Grodin. Fred, I think his name is. Gets stomped on. He doesn't make it.
Right. That I remember from the show as a kid for sure.
And they almost show him squashed.
Yeah.
They cut like away
like his hat fell off early. It was like, it'd be great. Like, because in my memory, it was like the foot, and then there's this crushed hand underneath. But that that's not how it is.
That's fine. The World Trade Center, these helicopters instead of biplanes. I did like that. Jack got stuck in the other tower. That Kong jumped from one tower to the other.
Yeah.
Making it so Jack, it was impossible for Jack to rescue her on the other side. Like, I thought that was a cool bit of dramatic tension.
Jack like cheers when Kong gets those guys with the flamethrowers.
Yeah, that seems a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it's like, yeah, stick it to them.
Right. Yeah, it was a little weird.
But they also had that guy who's like going, "What? Who are these guys? They didn't get my orders."
Yeah. Brutal.
Brutal. Attack. You know what? It's because, like, one of the things I was thinking about, it's more brutal than I remember it. And I believe maybe after seeing it the first time or something that, or is it, I mean, you know what? Actually, it's possible that when I first saw it was on TV already. Mm-hmm. And that, I don't think the TV version had all that in it.
Right.
Because, like, there's, like, chunks and stuff.
Right.
And, like, he's so bloody.
Yeah.
There's this random motorcycle guy. He comes, he slides his bike a little, he falls off his, comes off his bike, and then he decides to run away on foot. It's another one of these, like,
yeah,
convenient moments that Jeff Bridges and Jessica Lange can hop on this guy's motorcycle that he just left there.
Yeah, instead of getting...
And even them, they ride the motorcycle, and I feel like they get off the motorcycle way too early, because then they have so much more they have to run after they've already gotten off the motorcycle.
Right. Yeah, and motorcycles could get into places like that cars can. So yeah, you might as well.
So Jessica Lange, we already got talked about, but the fact that they go to the bar because she's like, buy me a drink. Come on, buy me a drink. He can't get to us. He can't swim and whatever. And then it cuts to King Kong and he's just walking through the water because it's not that deep. Okay.
Right.
The doll on King Kong's shoulder. Love it. It's not great, but I love it.
Yeah.
It's like a Barbie doll, basically. Just like Velcroed to the horse hair.
Is that what it was, horse hair?
The costume, I don't know. But the big giant Kong, that was like a bunch of horse tail hair. Probably complete tails. When I was like looking at the cast list on IMDb, I found my favorite actor in it. Jorge Moreno plays Garcia.
Whoa, cool.
He's the guy who brings Jeff Bridges a sandwich. Okay. And he falls off. You think he's the first guy to fall off the log?
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. I'm definitely not going to get up and stand on top of Kong to take photos.
Right.
But I think I would get pretty close. I'd be pretty sad, though. I mean, he was pretty bloody. It's kind of gross.
It's gross. Yeah, it's a mess.
But
yeah, it'd be kind of horrifying to see. I mean, as scared as you are.
Right.
It's still pretty horrifying. Yeah. I think it was kind of because they established those photographers early as being pushy.
Right.
And like when they're pushing Jessica Lange around to get a picture with her in the foreground, Kong in the background, the thing that sets Kong off to begin with, when he's in that cage, is basically that. And so, yeah. So then they're immediately climbing up the body. I think it works.
Yeah. I dug it a lot. I really enjoyed it. Whoa. Was that a jet?
Sorry.
Sound like a jet engine.
I was leaning over at my paper shredder because I was like, all right, we're wrapping up. I was about to shred my notes. And I was like kind of hovering above it, but I touched the thing that senses that paper's
put. Oh, and then it sucked it in.
Yeah.
That's fine. I really enjoyed it. It's I think like doing the show has, I've had an appreciation for the Kong remakes. I like what they stray from, what they kind of keep. It's kind of interesting to see how they go about doing it all. So, yeah, I really appreciate it.
I just love like sitting there and thinking about like, I mean, the first Wacky Kong, they did a puppet that was animated with stop motion. And then, and then later on they go, okay, this time we're going to do a guy in a suit and a giant pneumatic hand. And then technology moves forward, and then that lets them do. I think part of also that is the fact that technology allowed them to make a real Gorilla Kong in that time period.
Yeah.
And then that was also, you know, being acted with the Andy Serkis stuff. It's the whole, each Kong has its own things that make it.
I guess we didn't bring up the Toho Kong.
We skipped that.
But it's different. Because that was just a suit. This is like a suit with like motorized face and stuff. Like it like was able to have expressions. Instead of just
he could curl his lip a little and stuff like that, but
and blow on the ladies. Toho
Kong could like do some. He had some lip curls and some eye things, especially in the close up parts of the face.
He just look back and forth and blink.
Yeah, that's the weirdest looking.
Oh yeah, for sure.
That's the that's the Kong where they're like, I don't love the suit so much, but it's, but that suit puts him in his time and place. So you're like, oh, that's the Kong from that's Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yeah. All right. Top five, probably not. But it's up there as far as Kongs go.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I have to look at my current. Yeah, not top five, but I gotta see if it makes my
ten.
Bottom ten.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about next episode.
Okay.
And I don't know if I have the full title because I think there's several titles. We are watching Gamera 3, I believe, Rise of Iris?
Revenge of Iris.
Revenge of Iris? The Revenge of Iris. Okay, cool. Yeah, so look forward to that. That'll be available on kaijupod.com. That also has links to our Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube page. So, yeah. Until next time, I am going to go... well, no, I'm not going to do that one. I'm going to go... I'm definitely going to go check out the show in New York. I'm going to go see Kong in person. Maybe get a good bleacher seat. Yeah, I'll get a bleacher seat.
I am going to
not watch Deep Throat.
I'm going to go fix a sandwich for Jeff Bridges.
Ah, cool.
All right. I like that. I mean, when I saw Jack O'Halloran, I was going, that is a big head. Who is this guy with this big head? And then seeing that he was in the Superman movies, and I was like, oh, it's interesting seeing him talk now.
Yeah, because he was like a mute, and he was just like, he kind of felt like he was maybe not bright, but yeah, he's just a guy.
He's just a guy with a big head.
and then
you know what else was like, is all the seismic... they were doing all those like dropping explosive charges and stuff, and you know that was
in
Skull Island as well.
Yeah, it was cool. I need to watch that movie again.
Skull Island.
Yeah. God, when he's tearing down those helicopters.
Yeah. That's the best. When he shakes the guy out and eats him.
Yeah. Cool. All right.